Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 41. Make group training work for you. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon. Practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes who enjoy a bunch of fun.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bunches of people. Riding, running, just it's always fun out there.
For those that are listening, I'm just looking at Gerard to see whether he's actually got my average pun about a bunch.
A bunch.
Riding in the bunch. Banana, running.
Bananas.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
School report, must try harder.
Enthusiastic member of class. Gerard, good to see you again.
Yeah,
you are the coach.
Yes, Doug, you are the man that brings the fantastic one-liners that everyone else in the world will get. I've got no doubt about it.
Yeah. Survey says 3 out of 10. Yeah. But we're going to talk about training in a group.
Yeah. Look,
sometimes called a bunch.
I get it.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, we do a lot of that here in Wellington, yeah. Other people around the country. So it's really good just to recognise, talk about when it's good, when it sometimes doesn't work, and how you can make the most of it for you.
Yep, superb. Before we move on to that, there was a bunch of us in the school hall for our last indoor session at the weekend.
Yes, last one, done and dusted. Now, we say the last one, but that is, of course, weather permitting. The idea is that through the middle of winter, when it's colder, darker, a bit rainy, it's nice to be indoors, do some good hard work, and everyone together.
Yep.
But now, hopefully the weather's turning for the nicer, so we'll have that time outdoors.
And there's only so much of your 80s playlist we can put up with.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second.
That was not my opinion. It's let's hope the weather is kind to us and we're out into the real world.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about all manner of bits and bobs, some of the equipment that you should or could have for triathlon. That was kind of it, really.
It was a fair list, and I know that we didn't cover every single thing as well, but I think what we talked about is it's important that you think about the things that are going to add to your experience training and racing. Make sure you get those bits, but don't feel like you need to have every single bit and bob and gadget and thing that's out there.
Yep. I think one of the things, just when I was leaving last week, clothing was just one thing we didn't, and I know it sounds really obvious, yet you must do the event dressed. But you know, tri suits versus, you know, a one piece versus a two piece and all that kind of thing. I think you got to be comfortable wearing it,
yep,
because it doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. Two piece, in my view, far more beneficial, just in case you need to utilize some of the facilities on course.
Indeed, yep, huge benefit that way.
A little bit easier to get out of.
Yeah.
But again, not entirely necessary, and it's really up to the individual.
Yeah, in Ironman you see a lot of people who will do a full change in each tent because they prefer to be more comfortable in well-padded bike shorts for the bike.
Yep.
Get the dirty stuff off, get something fresh on for the run. With a half Ironman distance, you don't have a changed tent to go into, and you're not going to strip fully naked out there in transition. Apparently they do in Germany. There's Germany or Sweden? I don't know where. There's plenty
liberal,
of stories about
liberal
that.
Liberal countries, yes.
But yeah, so the idea with triathlon clothing, a tri suit, tri outfit, is you don't need to do that change.
Yep.
You wear it under your wetsuit in the swim, you whip the wetsuit off, you're on the bike, you wear it on the run. It's just really, really simple.
Yep. And again, I always refer to my one time at Ironman. I changed completely.
Right.
After the swim, it was proper cycling gear on. Yeah, I was going to be out there for a while. So I wasn't going to go with a thin sort of tri-suit chamois. I needed as much comfort as possible. And then after that, I changed completely into running, not running shorts. They were, you know, sort of lycra tri-shorts.
Yep.
And a singlet. So.
And like we talk about it, you make it the experience you want. If that's going to add to it, make it a better day for you, go for it.
It was not going to be the difference between first and second in my age group. It was about comfort first and, getting out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was last time.
All right.
This time, we're talking about training in groups with, in your case, with the Smithies, the squad that you try to corral every now and then.
Yeah, so again, this one is really pitched specifically to our squad, but I know there'll be other people out there who get benefits from it as well.
Yeah, and because it's an individual sport,
mm.
Which can be a little bit lonely. Being individual is being lonely.
Yeah.
But the benefits of training in a group are fantastic. So yeah, I think, you know, at a simple level, there's a bit of banter. It's social.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
And supportive.
Yeah, because we're all, yeah, like you said, we're this is an individual sport, but there's so many of us doing the same thing that, hey, it's really nice to be able to train with other people.
Yeah, and I think knowing that other people are doing the same thing as you,
mm.
you know, we turn up on a Tuesday or a Saturday or at swim squad and you're with a group of people, and there's also, because you've got an array of levels,
yep.
If you know someone who in your mind is maybe 10% faster than you or whatever, you sometimes, as long as it's appropriate,
yeah,
you push yourself that little bit more.
Absolutely, and you think about time trials, that if you have to go and do one of those solo, it is so bloody hard to do and really, really push yourself.
Yeah.
So if you can do it with others, that will buoy you along and just help you to get that last couple of percent out.
Yeah.
When you're doing a set of run intervals and it would be easy to quit or you're fading towards the end, it's your other teammates there who keep you going there. Just their sheer presence is enough to challenge you to lift it and carry on with what you should be doing.
Yeah. And it's not quite so much fun going for a coffee and a scone on your own.
Indeed.
After a session.
Yep, that's it.
Although I have done it occasionally. You know, a couple of weeks ago we did the park run, and then we did a couple of hours on the bike.
Mm.
On the bike there were different groups, but we'd been set a certain amount of time to be out there. You know, 10 minutes after finishing, there's 15 of us in a cafe and
yeah.
having a chat, telling a few stories, and it's that camaraderie and sort of connectedness.
Yeah.
Making up words as we go
no,
along.
No, absolutely.
That to some people is really important. I'm a social animal. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, there'll be people out there who are like, I don't give a, you know what, about anybody else.
Yeah.
It's all about me. Luckily, we don't have any of them in our squad.
Yeah.
And in fact, if they're like that, I guess they wouldn't train in a squad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They'd be out there doing their own.
Yeah.
That was a slightly negative tone, but there are some, I don't want to say downsides, but some of the things that are a little bit negative about group training.
Yeah, and we certainly do see it, that particularly blokes, that is really...
He's not here to defend himself.
You put a bunch of blokes together and the testosterone's going to come out and everything turns into a race.
Yeah.
So it is very easy for that to happen in group training situations. And there are times you want to race, there are times you want to be pushed, but not to our limit. So you just got to be really wary of that, not getting caught up in the race.
Yeah. On the other side of the coin, there's always the, you know, you're jogging along with someone who you get on with really well.
Mm.
Mm. And then you look down and you should be going at, I'll make up some numbers, you should be going at 4:45 pace.
Yep.
But they're supposed to be at 5-minute pace. So you're actually going slower than, you know, some of those beautiful zones that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do need to remember what you're there for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So look, the great thing with a group is that you've got this range of people, so we can divvy up and put you with others. But if it's just you and a mate who are training, then you might end up both compromising your training to kind of meet in the middle, which is not really ideal.
Yeah, yeah. And with, maybe not with that, well, there would be for one of those individuals.
Mm.
One of them is probably overdoing it.
Yeah.
The other person's not getting the most out of the session.
Yeah.
So you talked about it becoming a race, and we've talked about everything, Gerard. But you know, training at the right level on the right day,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it's slow endurance, sometimes it's harder. If it does become a race in a group, a bunch of people are going to end up overdoing it.
That's right. And chances are there's going to be an injury come out of that.
Yep.
Particularly for running, and sadly we do see that every year, that there's people who come to the squad enthusiastic and chasing everyone, and a few weeks later, well, they're on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So yeah, really want to be aware of that.
So you mentioned running, probably worth, you know, as a group, of the three disciplines, some are a bit more social than others.
Yeah.
Because I still haven't mastered it, but I'm working on it. I can't talk underwater.
I bet you can.
So swim squad.
Yeah.
I find it incredibly beneficial.
Mm.
Not quite as much talking as I'd like, but, you know, swimming on your own, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, either on your own or at peak hour in public lanes when there's people doing six different workouts in the same lane, you just can't get good quality out of that.
Yeah, so the first massive benefit is designated lanes.
Yeah.
And in your case with a squad, that it's not the medium, fast or slow for people to exercise. You have them booked out. So the only people in your lanes are squad members.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Now, when you are in that squad, though, in your lane, Doug, often if you're the person at the front, you might feel pressure to go fast all the time because there's, for some people, the idea...
I'll ask them next time I talk to someone who swims at the front.
For some people, the pressure of being the first person means, oh, I don't want to slow everyone down. Okay, but it's really important to make sure that you still get those variations in pace. And again, it just doesn't turn into a race the whole time.
Yeah. And the person who's leading is breaking the water. You know, the drafting and swimming is significant and a skill to be learned. However, when we're in there, it's important to give space in so that we are getting the best out of the workout.
Can you please tell that to everyone else in your lane?
Yes. I'm sure they're listening.
You're so right. There's this almost this panic of, I don't want to get left behind. Okay. But you need to give yourself enough space so that you're not getting the full drafting benefit and that you are working at the right level for you in that workout.
Yeah, and we try to seed ourselves as well so that it is the fastest person, the strongest swimmer at the front.
Yeah.
So that it does, you don't get this kind of concertina effect. And but we're not always the best at the 5 seconds gap type thing. But
We talked about being at the front, but if you do want to just take the pressure off yourself, you can always drop to the back of a lane. And if you want to think about work on something specific without the pressure and the worrying about other people around you, by all means do that. And I see people do that fairly often.
Yeah. And also this is more about, I suppose, having a coach, a coached squad rather than training with a group of mates. The fact at most you're only more than, you're never more than 25 meters away. You're able to look at people's stroke, give them a tap on the head and give them a little bit of advice, and then the next length, immediately they can start trying to work on whatever you've advised.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
I've seen you doing that with other people. Clearly not. I'm a lost cause, so you've stopped. You thought I was going to say, clearly I've got the swim stroke nailed. No. But it's one of those situations where it's really easy for you to give immediate feedback to people.
Yeah. Interesting, well, or not aside, apparently that's where interval swimming came from. That at some point in the early days, the coaches said, I want you to only swim 100 metres so you can stop, I give you feedback, and then you go again. That's why intervals became such a big thing in swimming.
Okay. Well, I'm glad of that.
We've also learnt physiological benefits from it as well. But there we go. And yeah, no, carry on.
And you talk about the 5 second gap. Often when something's designated cruise, you talked about at the initial discussion around it becoming a race.
Yeah,
I'm sure some people's cruise needs to be cruisier.
Definitely. And again, sometimes that comes down to the pressure of being in the front of the lane, or I don't want to hold others up, and then everyone else is in, oh, I don't want to get left behind mode.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Because that cruise is sort of an active recovery before something more intense.
Yeah.
Usually, that's my experience.
No, that's exactly it. That you kind of want to maximise your time in a squad. Ours are only 1 hour. You've only got that much time. So I know there's a desire for plenty of hard swimming. But by pulling it back every now and again to that cruise pace, you get recovery and you get the chance to think and work a bit more on the technique side of things.
Yeah.
And so we always want to be doing that no matter what stage of the season we're at.
Understood. Let's jump on the bike.
Yeah.
Group rides.
All right. So you were out a couple of weekends ago with a group, and we're talking about drafting in the pool. Drafting on the bike, huge, huge difference that makes as well.
Yeah.
So if you are someone who sits in and drafts the whole way, you might actually be working too easy. Maybe, maybe not, because everyone's got different kind of abilities and speeds. But if you spend all of your rides drafting off others and getting towed along and thinking, this is great, look how fast I'm riding, then you come to race day and have to do it yourself, you are the person at the front of your group of one, then that can be a real eye-opener to some.
Yeah, and I think if you're drafting, depending on how you're assessing your effort, whether it be heart rate or power meter, etc., make sure you're in the zone that that rider's been designated to do. Because you're right, a slightly less, you know, strong cyclist at the front, someone not quite so strong could draft but still be producing what's required for that ride.
Yes.
So getting the benefit. The downside is when you just tuck in and get sucked along and, you know, you are literally along for the ride.
Yeah.
You're not getting the most out of that session.
Yeah.
On the plus side, you know, riding with a group is fantastic because it's the one discipline where you're out there for a long time.
Yeah. You can talk plenty.
You can. Yep. I've mastered that one. You can talk plenty. And there's a, I think from my perspective, there's a bit of a safety element as well. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6 cyclists is a hell of a lot easier for a driver to see than just you on your own.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And we always look out for each other at the, you know, if there's a climb of some sort, we will have all agreed to wait at the top.
Yep.
You know, no one gets left behind. And
like
the group running that we mentioned previous, and we'll probably mention again, you know, you are with 6 people, 7 people, 8 people who are within a narrowish
ability.
And we break up into groups, and we have that coffee and scone at the end, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, talking about kind of being in those groups, is that the safety aspect, one part of it is signalling and calling things that are going out on there on the road. But also, what we're trying to do with that is make sure that the whole group keeps moving along consistently. Because, again, with triathlon, it's about you being consistent all day long.
Yep.
If you're in a bunch where it surges and then you back off and then it's, you surge again, someone rushes around the front to have a go on the front, then you cruise again for a while. Yeah, sure, you're getting good general fitness, but that's not specific to how you're going to race.
Yeah, and I might talk to some of the people that I rode with that other weekend, because I tried to keep, I was at the lead of the second group, and I tried to keep the power, you know, within a limited zone.
That consistency.
Which should have meant I was consistent. Yeah. Because, yeah, that surging, and when you're spending as much time wondering whether you need to put on the brakes or not when you're behind,
yeah,
as you are putting in effort, it's just, yeah, you don't want to have to be thinking about that too much. So,
That's also a case then for, at times, to actually give yourself a bit more space, still be close to everyone else as part of the group of people riding together, but not necessarily drafting. You can sit off the back 10 metres, get in your aero bars, do your effort, do your pace.
Yeah. So, it's great. And getting out there, looking after each other, and again, all the good things of being with a bunch of like-minded people.
Yeah. Now, look, just one thing made me think, aero bars, just mentioned those, is the safety aspect of those. That one of the rules in our group is that if you are riding close to someone else, you're not on your aero bars.
Yeah.
The reaction time to be able to maneuver or hit the brakes, do whatever you need to if something goes wrong, is just not there when you're on your aero bars. I don't care how good a cyclist you are, we've got to be considerate of our safety and everyone else around us.
Yeah. And another, just on the aero bars as well, even if you're at the front of the group where, oh, I can get into aero because I'm not going to run into anyone, what it does make it harder to do is signal potholes, glass, unless you're incredibly adept.
Yep.
But if you, you know, and we do ride through some areas where there is a lot of glass and the roads are not that flash, and it is really, it's vital. It's not handy. It's vital that you point out a deep pothole or a dodgy bit of the road or a bit of grating that comes further out than expected. So
absolutely.
Yeah, even though you might think it's okay to drop into aero, but just think about the people behind you.
Yeah.
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 So group rides. Oh, you've also got other people to help you change your tyre if you get a puncture. Although you should always change your own. It's good practice.
Too right. In fact, that's something we didn't do in the indoor squad sessions is normally do a change of that. So, okay.
I think a couple of people got practice the other weekend.
Good.
That's all good. So group rides, group runs. Similarly, lots of great things about running with a group.
Yep. The good news with group running is drafting doesn't make nearly as much benefit when running. There is still a small amount, but you can run together. And even if you are in a line one after the other single file, you're still probably all going to be running at your own pace. You're not really getting that drafting benefit.
Yeah. And some of the Tuesday evening sessions, lots of sort of repeats of intervals.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever miles away from each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is great. Sometimes we're going backwards and forwards, so we go past other squad members and, you know, give them some encouragement.
So even when we break into smaller groups for running, the speed within those might stretch out a little bit over the intervals, but then you can come back together in the recoveries, kick off the next one together.
Yeah. And some of the longer runs, I'm sure there'll be some coming up where we get to, one and a half, two, maybe even longer. Yeah. Always nice to, you're not, because running is one of those ones where if there's a 5% difference in ability, that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
On the bike, you could probably draft and hang on.
Yep, that's it.
Running, not so much. You do slowly sort of spread out.
Yeah.
But even so, always nice just to have one or two people who are there or thereabouts.
Yeah, totally. But then you have to be careful in that situation that it doesn't just become that race again in your long run. And unless there are some specific intervals to do, most of the time, or a lot of the time with our long runs, we're just reinforcing that base endurance. And so you don't let it become a race in those.
So if you're doing intervals, for example, are you just about falling into the car at the end?
Very rarely.
Right.
Yeah. Any kind of interval session, be it swim, bike or run, is ideally you want to finish going, yep, I worked pretty damn hard, but I reckon I could do another one of those if I needed to.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You never, we want to save racing for race days and test situations. Training is training. We want to be able to recover from that, not be ruined.
Yeah. You're pushing the body. You're letting it recover.
Yeah.
It'll be stronger without breaking it completely.
That's it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. And you mentioned about not becoming a race and some of the downsides of just running with your mate or someone you're talking about the All Black team announcement and all of a sudden you're not quite in those wonderful zones that are so crucial.
Yeah, yeah. And even though Tuesday nights our squad runs together, to start with I am trying to be very clear about what the zones are and what the paces are for different groups to run at. I would hope that over time that people figure those out and learn them for themselves and just know, you could always run with probably the next group up or you could always run a little bit harder, but that's not the purpose of this workout.
Yep.
Know where you should be for any particular effort or workout.
Your lovely little printouts that you hand out so gleefully before we start. Fantastic. And we mentioned it, whether not so much on the long run, but those interval and sessions on the waterfront or Mount Vic, we regroup every now and then, just to make sure everyone's okay and everyone is caught up or whatever.
Yep.
But it just has that chance for a bit of banter and huffing and puffing and it's nice to see the pained expression on a few other people's faces as well.
But and to reinforce again that chances are you wouldn't go out and do it yourself to that level of effort if there weren't the others there.
And do you know what? There was a session a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the one where you were unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thrust into the breach once more.
Assistant coach.
And as we finished, there were a couple of people said, do you know what? If I'd had to do that on my own, I probably would have stopped after the second of five intervals.
Yeah.
Yep. Whereas we're probably all thinking, oh, I wish we could stop.
Yes.
But no one's going to say it.
That's right. Yeah.
Huge, huge benefits from that. And, I guess in summary, group sessions, it sounds like therapy. I just love, it goes without saying, I just love being around other people who are doing the same thing as me.
Yeah.
Some faster, some slower, but there's always some good banter and some great motivation to be had from being with a bunch of great people.
That's for sure. So look, use those people to challenge you when you need it for the tougher workouts, but don't get caught up in racing every single session.
Yeah.
And we talked about being an individual sport, but we train together in groups, so do work together, okay? The occasional stoppage or easier bit is of no consequence. To safely get through you and your group, make sure everyone's looked after and you all achieve the workout rather than shelling people off the back because the pace has got a bit hot or someone got left behind because of a puncture. Yeah, just you're there, work together, look out for each other.
Yeah, and I think some of the greatest pleasures are seeing the success of other people.
Yeah,
you know, all for one and one for all. It's just a great bunch of people
to share that together. Yeah,
yeah, because you know, if you achieve something, if you don't get to tell anyone, it's kind of like, okay, I'll just think how great that was.
And it's only other triathletes that understand. People at work, they just don't get it, do they?
Yeah, work on your interested face.
Yeah.
No, fantastic. Big advocate of the group stuff, so which I have to say because I'm part of Mr. Smith's squad.
Perfect plug. All right.
Until next time.
Thanks very much, Doug.
Thank you.